I want to ask you to keep your Bibles open. We have those three passages. We'll be looking at them as we get into the Word this morning. And so it's good to have all you guys here, especially those of you that are worshiping with us online. We're just super excited to have that way for you to be with us if you cannot be here and just experience worshiping together and sitting with each other. There's something special about that. But we're glad to have you this morning. We're in our series, as you've just watched on the screen. We're entitling it Begin. And what we're doing is, for about 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at six essentials that we need to have solid in our lives if we're going to thrive as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm going to really be the Christian that the Bible talks about, these are things that are just essential. These are things you just need to be solid on in order to experience that. So last week, we talked about the assurance of salvation. If I'm going to walk with the Lord, if I'm going to be everything that God wants me to be, I don't need to be worrying in the back of my mind what's going to happen to me if and when I die. If I die suddenly or whenever I die, am I okay? You need to have that locked down. You need to have that settled. And maybe you say, oh, I didn't even know you could do that. I thought it was just kind of a, you know, you hope that when it comes to the end that you're okay. You can know that you are, and you can get a copy of that. Last week, you can order that through our church office. But today, I want us to think about something that I don't know the last time that I talked about it. We talk about other things a lot, but maybe not about this. And so it's a little bit of a new approach for me, but I think you're going to find it beneficial. I want us to look about a thoughtful approach to biblical baptism. Because in the Word of God, if I'm going to have that walk with the Lord that is important for me, I need to be solid on this. I need to be solid from a scriptural perspective, because we're talking about being disciple makers. That's what the Lord left us here to do. He said, go into all the world, and I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. And he also said, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples. That's what he's talking about. Make disciples, not converts, but disciples. And so one of the things of being a disciple is doing what the Word tells us to do. And so what's important is that we understand what the Word says. And it's important to understand what the Bible says about baptism. And we're going to come, perhaps in a service like this, you're going to come from different perspectives. And the way that you look at it, some of you maybe have been baptized by immersion, some have been sprinkled, maybe some have even had their water poured on them, depending on where you are. And so I want to talk to you this morning about this from a biblical position, and I want you to hear me on this. This is my heart on this. I'm not talking as a Baptist, all right? So I don't want you to think I'm throwing denomination to you. I want to just give you the Word. And I want to show you where it is in the Word. So I hope you've got your Bibles open to that as we just look at Holy Scripture this morning. Now, one of the things that we learn in Holy Scripture is that God, the Lord Jesus, left us two ordinances. In other words, he left us two commands. He ordained this, ordained ordinances. And so those are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, we come to the Lord's Supper here on the hill about four times a year, sometimes maybe five, sometimes maybe even do it six, however we feel the Holy Spirit leading. But we try to do it enough that we don't ignore it, but not do it too much to where it gets to the place that it doesn't really mean anything to us. We just kind of are going through the motions. So we don't try to strike a balance there with that. But one of the things that we don't talk a lot about, even though you think we would because of our name being Baptist as far as our theology, is the subject of baptism. We don't teach a lot on that, and that is not a good thing. There are a couple of attitudes, I think, that prevail about baptism, and I want to give them to you. They're in your life point outline if you'll look at that. Number one, there doesn't seem to be much concern among professing believers about baptism. Not a lot of concern. Professing Christians today, we find out in just talking to people, can go years, even decades, never obeying the Lord's clear command about baptism. So they believe that they're totally born again. They've given their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. They've never followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And yet Jesus said, Matthew 28, 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Listen, in number two, he said, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord says, the second identifying mark of somebody who is truly born again is baptism. First of all, they make a confession in front of a lost and dying world. I'm a believer. I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. I've given my life to him. The second identifying mark that I am what I say I am is I permit myself, I commit myself, I yield myself to public baptism. Baptism in Scripture, except for just a couple of times in the cause of the situation, was always in a public forum. I teach people in our membership class, which if you haven't taken that, I invite you to do that. Sign up for our next Life 101 membership class. But one of the things I teach about baptism is that baptism is initiation. It's not graduation, okay? You don't need to know a lot to be baptized. In fact, all you need to know is hell is hot, Jesus saves. If you've got that down, you can follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's all you really need to know. But the second opinion or attitude that's out there, number two, is there is wide diversity of opinion about what it means to be baptized and how it ought to be done. In other words, we're not, the Christian family is not all together. And so you'll find some who immerse, like us. You'll find others who pour. I don't know anybody in Lufkin that does that, but they do pour in certain places. There is sprinkle, which is widely used in our area. And there's what is called trine immersion. I'm not going to deep dive in that, but they believe, you know, you baptize, Matthew 28, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so trine immersion is, and they baptize them forward. They say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and bring them up in the name of the Son, and bring them up in the name of the Holy Spirit, and they bring them up. So you go under three times. It's called trine immersion. And it's just them wanting to honor each person of the Godhead. But the three are one. And so when you baptize in their name, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you do it one time and you're covering that. As a result, this is what I want you to see. Look the truth in your outline. There exists today throughout the world an unbaptized church. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of people who have come to faith in Christ and their baptism doesn't align with Scripture. It aligns with denomination, but it doesn't align with Scripture. Scripture talks about immersion. Submerged, put all the way underwater. And so their baptism doesn't align with the Word of God, and it doesn't align with the biblical perspective of how it ought to be done. They have been sprinkled or they have been poured. And so biblically, they have not been baptized at all. So there exists in America, to a great extent, an unbaptized church. Because many have never been biblically baptized, have not submitted to baptism, or have thought that they are baptized when in fact they are not. So Jesus said this. He said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them. So he gave that command to us as a church. He said, go out into all the world. We talk about that. We talk about that some of you are going to earn your living and you're going to realize God's got a call on your life and he's wanting you to pick up your family and he's wanting you to go someplace, maybe in the United States, or he may even want some to go overseas. And he's like, I want you to earn your living there and I want you to be part of a church plant and I want you to help spread the gospel. And there are many of God's people are doing that all over the world. They're simply going and obeying Christ's command to go into all the world. So we have the command to the church as a whole. But then you've got the Holy Spirit, and he speaks very personally because he's in every one of us who are born again. And in Acts 2:38, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized. So Jesus said to the church, go and baptize believers. And the Holy Spirit said, when you come to faith, when you trust Christ, I want you to be baptized. So listen to Acts 2:41. So, that being said, those who received his word, Peter's word, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, were baptized, And there were added that day, in other words, added to something, to the church, 3,000 souls. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 men and women who were lost came to faith in Christ. And on that day, 3,000 men and women were baptized. And they were baptized biblically by immersion. So let me just kind of break this down, all right, for us to kind of get a grip on it. Look, number one in your outline. Number one, let me talk for just a minute about the reasons a lot of people are not baptized, the reason many people are unbaptized. And I hope in all this to just show it to you from Scripture. But one of the reasons, one of the first reasons, is ignorance. All right, and that's just an honest thing. They've not been taught. They've never had biblical teaching. They've had teaching, and they've had denominational teaching, but they haven't had biblical teaching. And many are ill-taught about baptism, or they're not taught at all. Some are even taught baptism's not even important. There are Christian, so-called Christian groups in America today that simply will tell you, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be baptized. It's not that important. And they'll honestly say that. And then the second reason a lot of people are not baptized is because of pride. It is because of pride. I remember my English professor on my senior level at the Southern Arkansas University. I was in his English class, and on this particular day, and I don't even remember why he did it, but he was standing down at the front, you know, and I was in this big room full of students. And he knew I was there. He knew that I was the president of our Baptist student union on campus. And so, you know, he knew who I was. And he said, you know, he said, I have to hand it to the Baptist. And I thought, well, here it comes. And he said, I have to hand it to the Baptist. He said, anybody that's willing to be publicly dunked, I mean, you just have to hand it to them. Now, I was smart enough to know, stay in your seat and be quiet. You know, and just kind of let it fly over. And so I did that. But you see, I understood, you know, for him, a professed Lutheran, it seemed unseemly. Okay, for him, it didn't add up. And that's because he wasn't taught biblically. He was taught denominationally. And it just seemed unseemly to him to allow himself to be publicly dunked, submerged, immersed. Because that's man's way of thinking. We don't naturally want to be humbled in front of people. And that's what baptism by immersion does. And I'll talk about that in just a minute, because that's part of God's picture in baptism. There is a mark of humility that's there that you don't get with sprinkling. You don't get it with pouring. You only get it with immersion. And then for other people, to be immersed, knowing the truth, the reason that they're not baptized, as I said, is because of pride, because it would be humiliating to them to admit, I haven't done it right all these years. And I get that. I do. And it strikes at the pride, and it's hard to do that. But I just want you to hear my heart on this, and I want you to hear Jesus's desire. The desire of Scripture is that you would say yes to that. You would say yes to His command. And you would allow yourself this public humiliation. And I'm going to talk about that before we get through this morning, so you understand that's part of God's plan for you, and it shows your heart. There is, but at the bottom of it, there is a total failure to realize God's blessing. Guys, listen, when you do what God wants you to do, when you obey Him, even though life is challenging, when you do what God wants you to do, there is a blessing that comes from that. And what I'm saying is, when you follow the Lord in biblical baptism by immersion, there is a blessing that is attached to that, that God is not going to put on you because you haven't done it His way. You did it man's way. You did it the non-humiliating way. And so God is saying, when you will not humble yourself before Me, when you make it all about you, then He says, there's blessing I can't put on your life. Why? Because you're not being obedient to Me. You're not obeying My plan for your life. And so what I want you to understand is, you just think, oh, So, Pastor, there means there are blessings I could have that I don't have because I haven't done it God's way. Yes, that's what I'm saying. But if the reason you haven't done it is because of pride, then number three is indifference. There are some who just, it's just simply not important. They understand it. They're not against it. And they may even believe in it, but it's just not important. It's like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. You know, maybe someday I'll get around to it. I haven't done it yet. They haven't thought about the issue of pride, but for them, it's just indifference. You know, it's just not that big of a deal. And then number four is a little bit worse, and that's defiance. And that's like, no, I'm not going to do it. But you have to get to the heart of that. And a lot of times when people say no, it is because at the heart, they know they can't. They know they can't simply because in order to follow the Lord in biblical baptism, you've got to have this willingness in your spirit to say, God, I am wrong. You're right. I needed Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. There's no way I can make heaven apart from Christ. You're right. I do need to be baptized. I need to give testimony to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But you see, you're not going to want to do that if you're hiding known sin in your life and you're not willing to give it up. Because when you follow the Lord in baptism, you know you're not perfect, but as far as you can help it, you're seeking to do what God wants you to do. And when somebody has got unconfessed sin in their life, they don't want that. Why? Because they need to deal with it. And so there are a lot of people are not being baptized because of defiance, just simply not willing to be submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But then lastly, it's because they're unregenerate. What I simply mean is there are many people who are in the church. They come to church. They're part of the gathering together, but they're not really a believer. They haven't been born again. And so there's really no internal motivation of the Holy Spirit that is compelling them to obedience. They have no desire to make a public profession of faith to the Lord. It is something that just simply doesn't exist in their soul. And so if you are unbaptized, and I'm not talking about if you've been baptized somewhere by immersion. I'm saying if you're unbaptized because you've been sprinkled or you've never entered the water for Jesus Christ, then these are some of the five areas that may be true for you that you need to consider. What is my hang up? Where is my hang up? And if you've never understood the importance of baptism, I want to try to just get to that, okay? So let me just do that as quickly as I can this morning. I want you to look at number two. Let's just talk about what biblical baptism is. And again, I simply want to show you this in Scripture so that you can see this is not a Baptist thing, it's a Bible thing. All right, so let's talk about definition. If we're going to define baptism as to the act itself, and that's what I'm not talking about its meaning. Okay, I'm not talking about its meaning. There is a meaning to baptism. I'll get to that. I'm talking about the act of baptism. So here's the definition. It is a ceremony by which a person is immersed, dunked, or submerged into water. And there are two verbs that are huge in the New Testament with regards to this, that are by simple definition of baptism. The first one in your notes is bapto, B-A-P-T-O. All right, that's the way it's pronounced from the Greek. And it is used only four times, only four in all of New Testament Scripture. But now listen, every time it is mentioned, it is translated to dip into, to submerge, to immerse. And I want you to understand, remember, I'm not talking about denomination. I'm just talking about Bible. So I'm not giving you the Baptist version. I just want you to hear the Bible version. So bapto means dip into, submerge, or immerse. Then the second word is baptizo, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. And this is where we get our word baptize, when you just transliterate it. And baptizo is used many, many more times than bapto. And here's the truth in your outline. Baptizo always means to dip completely. It is the word that is translated to drowned. It means totally submerging, immersing, dunking into water. And the noun form of that verb is baptismos. And in the book of Acts, when it, in there, it is always translated to immerse into water, to submerge. And so here's what I want to understand. You can go all the way through the entire New Testament, and wherever you find the word baptize, you translate it immerse, plunge into water, you've got the biblical definition. That's what it means. And I tell you this, in our membership class, we call it Life 101, that you can take, you can sign up for that. What I share with people is, this is such an airtight teaching from Scripture. The founders of denominations today that teach baptism by sprinkling believed in biblical baptism by immersion. They knew it was biblical. I'll give you an example. John Calvin. What church would that be from Calvin? Presbyterian, right? Presbyterians sprinkle. And that's the church that Calvin formed. John Calvin made this statement, and this is a quote. Listen to what he said. He said, "The word baptize means to immerse. It is certain that immersion was the practice of the early church." And you can find statements like that by John Wesley and by Martin Luther. And Lutheran churches, Methodist churches, baptized by sprinkling. But their founders understood biblically, the word means to immerse, all right? And so just so you understand the reality there. And it should be noted that in the Greek, which the New Testament was written in, the verb, now listen, bapto and baptizo are never, ever in Scripture in the passive tense. And what do I mean by that? And what I mean is, water is never said to be baptized on somebody. Somebody is always baptized into water. You never have it in Scripture where water is baptized on them, sprinkling, pouring, whatever. It's never passive. It's always active. It is a man or woman being put into and submerged into water. And so that's just, I just want you to understand that. And I know there are those of you here this morning that you have hungered, you've wanted to know, God, am I doing it right? Am I okay? And I just want you to see what the Word says. And just let the Holy Spirit of God tell you what He wants you to do. Because we're talking about next Sunday having a huge baptismal day. We've already got people lined up for each of our three services to follow the Lord in biblical baptism by immersion. And you can be part of that. And the whole point of this message is just to encourage you. It isn't to teach you Baptist ways. It is to teach you Bible ways. All right, that's the whole point. Now in our text, Matthew 3, 5, and 6, the Bible says that people came out to John the Baptist to be baptized by him. And what I want you to see is, where were they going? They were going, it says, to the River Jordan. Now you got to understand, there were town wells, but they had everybody walk miles to the River Jordan. Look at the inside of your outline. John the Baptist was always in the wilderness at the Jordan as a necessity for him to baptize. That means if people were to be baptized as God commissioned John, John knew they needed some place where there was a lot of water. So he always went there. Matthew 3:16. After our Lord's baptism, the Bible says Jesus went up out from the water. Jesus went down into the water like you would do up here. You would go up those steps, you would go down into the water. Jesus went down into the Jordan River and he came up out of the Jordan River. There's no way you can conceive that he would have walked out into a full flowing river and had John the Baptist sprinkle him. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense at all. Why travel? Why walk all those miles to be sprinkled in a river? And so you just got to think that through. Mark 1, verse 5. All the country of Judea were going out to John and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized, baptizo, immersed by John in the Jordan River. And the insight is, you don't need to be in the river unless your plan is to immerse. Okay? And so John 3:23, very important statement. Listen to what it says. John was also baptizing in Aenon near Salim, which means it's along the Jordan River. Why did he do that? It tells us, because there was much water there. Why did John need a lot of water? Because he had a lot of people that needed to be submerged into water. And one last reference point, beyond question, is Acts 8, verse 38. You can mark that. A deacon in the church, Philip, preached Christ to a seeker. God sent him there. He heard this guy was in his chariot and he was reading from the Old Testament scriptures. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless somebody teach me?" And so he was reading this passage of scripture that talks about the Lord coming and about following him. And so what would Philip have told him? He would have told him the Great Commission in his teaching of everything this guy. He would have told him, he said, "Our Lord said before he went back to heaven, go you therefore into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so this eunuch heard that. And when he put his faith and trust in Jesus, he looked at Philip and he says, "You see all this water that we've come by?" He says, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "Nothing. If you want to be baptized, we can do it right here, right now." And so the Bible says the two of them went down into the water and Philip baptized him, and then they came up out of the water. There's such clarity that the baptism required much water. Why? Because they had to be somewhere where the guy could be dipped, plunged under, submerged, and lifted back out. So two truths we've seen. Baptism is a command. If you say you belong to Jesus, the Lord God of your soul has said, "I am expecting you to put your faith and trust in me for heaven." And then he's saying, number two, "I'm commanding you as an identification with me that you submit yourself to baptism by immersion." That you be baptized, you be plunged and put under. And I want to talk to you why that's important. Look at number three. Immersion alone pictures the work of Christ. And what I mean by that is, it is only immersion that fits the reality of what baptism is supposed to be a picture of. Now, I want you to listen to this, is hugely careful, because you can't get this in anything else but immersion. And look at the insight. Only immersion symbolizes the death and the burial, meaning into water, and the resurrection of new life coming out. Only baptism by immersion does that. There are two other baptisms in Scripture. One of them is what you call Holy Spirit baptism. That's 1 Corinthians 12:13. Listen, the sign that you're truly born again is that the Holy Spirit baptizes you. He fills you. He comes over you. And that connects you to Jesus Christ. That's what makes you different. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Himself. He moves inside of you to live inside of you, and you are connected with the Father. Why? Because you have become a son and a daughter of God Almighty. God lives in you. That is Holy Spirit baptism. You have absolutely nothing to do with it except you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, baptizes you in the Spirit. He makes you His son or His daughter. You are forever changed. That's Holy Spirit baptism. You have nothing to do with it. It is done to you. But then there is called a baptism of fire and judgment. And that's what John the Baptist talked about. He said, "There is coming one after me," meaning Jesus, "who is greater than me." Listen, and he is going to baptize this earth with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he says, Jesus, when he comes, by him will come the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And those who do not trust in Christ, who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't belong to the Father. You're not a child of His, because the Spirit of God doesn't live in you. And what that means is you are facing now a baptism of fire. When Jesus comes, there will be a judgment, because sin angers the Almighty. Sin is against our God. It is saying no to Him. It is defying Him. And when Jesus comes this second time, There will be a judgment on this earth, and the Bible says it's a baptism of fire on this planet. And so those that's just what God wants you to understand is true. So the insight in your outline, water baptism by immersion is important because it is God's picture of a spiritual reality. Let me tell you what I'm talking about there. In the Old Testament, God gave a lot of ceremonies. And these ceremonies were to teach us truth. They gave us biblical pictures. And so you have a family. You got a husband and a wife. Maybe they've got two kids and they've just had a third one born. And the third born is a boy. And on the eighth day after his birth, it is time, according to the commands of God, because this is a household of faith, it is time for them to circumcise that boy. And so this little boy and little girl are watching as their baby brother goes through the spiritual rite of circumcision. And they see that happening. And their natural response is to ask dad a question. And so the little boy and little girl say, "Dad, why are you doing that to him? Why are you doing that? Why is that taking place?" That was the purpose of the ceremony. It was a teaching moment. Ceremonies in Old Testament passed on spiritual truth to the next generation. That was what it was designed to do. That's why we have baptism. It is to teach a spiritual truth. God's still doing that. In this case, with the circumcision, and I've mentioned this before, the dad would look at his little son and daughter and he'd say, "Kiddos, listen. God commanded us to do this to all of the men children that are born, all the males. And after 8 days, we are to take them and we are to circumcise them. We are to cut off that foreskin." And he said, the reason is because God is wanting everyone to understand there is in our nature a principle of sin. And in the picture of circumcision, we are making a testimony that at the very point of the procreative ability of a man, there is only in that man the ability to recreate his own issues. All a man can do is pass on to the next generation his sin. Why? Because we're sinners at our core. And all I can do is produce more sinners. And God said, circumcision is a testimony you believe what I'm teaching you. It is a testimony that you're confessing, "God, there is nothing good in me. I can't do anything on my own. And at the point of my creative ability as a man, I have been circumcised because I'm testifying something in me needs to be cut out. There is something in me. All I can give to my kids is more sin. I am flawed at my core." That's why God says if a child is not circumcised, if a man will not be circumcised, he said he is an enemy to me and I will not bless him in life. Why? Because you're living the life of an unbeliever. You're unwilling to say there is a problem with me. I am broken at my core and I can't fix myself. And God, I need you. That's what circumcision is all about. It's a picture. And all these Old Testament pictures, so many of them have passed away. And the insight in your outline is this. Beloved, all those ceremonies of the Old Testament, all those pictures of spiritual truth are gone, and only two remain, and that's the Lord's Supper and baptism. So let me give you one more insight that I pray will move you to act and obey Christ through baptism by immersion. And I close with this. In Matthew 3:13, Jesus arrives at the River Jordan. And he wants John the Baptist to baptize him. And John is like incredulous. He's like, "You got to be kidding me. This is the one who turned to his disciples when he saw Jesus coming that first time, when Jesus was coming toward him. He said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" You see, John knew that Jesus was God the Son. He knew he was God in the flesh. He was God Almighty. John knew Jesus was sinless. He doesn't need to be baptized to be teaching that something inside of him needs to die. Why? Because he's God. And so John looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, I've got need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. Now listen to what Jesus said. Verse 15, Jesus answered, let it be so now. Listen, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So whatever Jesus meant, what he was saying to John is what John's baptism is somehow connected to the work of Christ in fulfilling all righteousness, in doing everything that God sent him to do. John's baptism is connected to the act in which Jesus fulfilled this righteousness, which is what? The crucifixion. Baptism, listen, and crucifixion are connected. Jesus said it. He said, baptism is connected to what I'm doing to save your soul. Look at the truth in your outline. The act of baptism has to be such that there's an obvious connection with his baptism, that you can see it. Baptism has to picture death, burial, and resurrection, because those three acts of Christ fulfill the plan of God for men's souls. That is the purpose of baptism. It is a picture of what Christ came to do for you and me. And the only way you get that picture in baptism is in a pool of water. It's when you are submerged. In Luke 12, verse 50, Jesus told the disciples, he said, I have a baptism to undergo. Now, why did he say that? Why didn't he say, I've got a death to undergo, or I've got a crucifixion to undergo? Here's the reason. Jesus viewed his crucifixion and his death as an immersion. He said, I am immersing myself into this. I'm immersing myself into a dying, into a burial, and into a rising again. And the insight in your outline, the Trinity of God intended baptism always and only by immersion. For only such a baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world. Now listen to me. There are going to be some of you, and you're going to hold off from saying, Pastor, I want to follow the Lord in New Testament baptism by immersion. I have been sprinkled, and I understand from what you're teaching, sprinkling is not biblical baptism. I get it. But it's just hard for me to do it. I want you to hear me. I totally get it. But here's what I want you to understand. Listen, that is the point. That's the point. The point is you humble yourself before God Almighty. Why? Understand what Jesus did for you. When Jesus was crucified, he was hung on a cross naked before an entire city. When you see Christ in pictures, he always has a loincloth. Not biblically. Christ was crucified between two thieves. God in the flesh died for your soul, and he was hung naked before a lost world. Jesus suffered humiliation to save you and me. And we are saying, I can't handle being publicly humiliated by being submerged in water. We have to ask, what is the condition of my heart? It is the pride of men that have taken away the requirement for men and women to be submerged biblically and have gone to sprinkling. That is pride. Because it is not Bible. It's not the Word of God. And I'm not giving you Baptists, I'm giving you the Bible. I don't care if an Assembly of God baptized you. I don't care if a Methodist baptized you by immersion. If you were baptized by immersion, not believing that immersion saved you, we will accept your baptism. It's not a Baptist thing. It is a Bible thing. And until you are immersed, you are in disobedience to God. There, I said it. The truth in your outline, it is the very nature of public immersion to produce humbling of our pride. The That baptism has got to be a picture that the old you has died. It has been buried in Jesus, and a new you is living now. If you've truly been born again, you can say, I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I was. I'm different. Let's stand together, would you please? All right, now, I know there's a lot of rustling. Children, I want you to be still for just a minute. I'm going to let you go. I'm only 4 minutes over. Listen, this is a great time to follow the Lord in biblical baptism. I'm going to ask you to go against the flow. I want you to walk across the mall to the next step area, and you tell them, I would like to be baptized. You take a step. I was sprinkled, or I've never been baptized, but I know I've trusted Christ. I know He's my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I can say, Lord, you know I asked you to save me. You know I told you I was a sinner and that I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. God, you know that. And if you did it, God knows it. But you need to say, Father, I want to do it your way. I want my life to be a testimony of what Christ did for me. And I'm no longer what I used to be. And I haven't been baptized the way Jesus was. And I want to fix that now. I want to fix it now. And so you just make your way. Go against the flow. If God's working in your heart, it won't be a problem. You'll do it. And then we're going to rejoice next Sunday and have a great baptismal day. In each service, we'll be baptizing. And so I want to invite you to do that. So Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for this time just to be in the Word, just to be taught, just to hear what Scripture says. And so now, Father, may your Holy Spirit do His work in the hearts of those truly born again, that they will say, yes, I want to be baptized the way John the Baptist would have done it. I want to be baptized the way our Lord was baptized, by immersion. They're telling the story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And tell in the story that the old me has died. It's been put away in Jesus. And now I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. I'm not what I used to be. And so, Father, thank you for teaching us so clearly today. Go with us now as we obey you. Receive our offering as our love gift to you. We thank you for saving us and being our Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.